Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Professor Barry Shube, the former executive director of the NICD. Professor Shube, great to have you with me again.
Good afternoon, Simon. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thanks, Prof. And I had a special request today. I had a special request that you address the issue of denialism, both in respect of COVID-19 itself and its effects, as well as the vaccine, because believe you me, I'm getting that side, a lot of it.
Yeah, Simon, this is really something part, it's really part of society's response to infectious diseases threats. You know, these threats kind of do cause a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty. Unfortunately, scientists and medical professionals are not good communicators. And even though the polls show that there's quite a reasonably good trust in scientists and medical professionals, it's certainly by no means 100%. This is the problem. You know, when you get a pandemic, and there's anxiety and there's fear and there's uncertainty, three things happen.
Yeah.
The first is conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Some of it comes from science fiction. Some of it are really weird and wonderful. I mean, that there are microchips in the vaccine because Bill Gates wants to control the world. I mean, that really stretches the imagination. And then that's the one thing, conspiracy theories. The second is that miracle cures come about. So, you know, with COVID, the first wave, it was chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine, you know, the anti-malarial drug, which was thought to be a miracle cure. Often, you know, politicians kind of climb on the bandwagon as well. And the second wave is ivermectin, similar kind of, you know, miracle cure. The third thing is the blame game. You look around, now who can we blame? Of course, the government always has to be blamed. But, you know, we can also find other instances to blame as well. So it's three: conspiracy theories, miracle cures, blame game. That's really part and parcel of the pandemic. And it provides comfort. It provides a certain amount of anxiety. It allays anxieties, fears, uncertainties, those kind of things. And, you know, this is not new. You know, denialism started all the way back in the end of the, or the beginning of the 19th century, the 1800s, with Edward Jenner and smallpox. And there were a lot of denialists of smallpox vaccination right then. And then, of course, you remember the HIV denial. There's a strong political overlay.
Yes,
with that.
Beetroot and garlic and all that stuff. Prof, I want to give you an example of the kind of issues that are thrown at me, and I'm not a scientist. My decision has been not to indulge in this kind of talk at all in terms of denialism, but because you're on the line, you'll be able to deal with this better than I can. The kind of issues that are thrown at me are the following. Pardon me, it just slipped down here. Why do vaccine makers hide all the information? What are they hiding? Why was our right to sue them removed? How do you deal with something like that?
Well, you know, the actual ingredients, the methodology, the trial data, how vaccines are put together, how they're bottled, how they're ampuled, how they're filled and distributed, all that kind of is in thick dossiers which go to the regulatory authority. I know because I was part of it. And now they'll virtually come by the truckload. So there's no concealing of how vaccines are made or what ingredients. You know, it's a lot more rigorous than the Beth Denning inspection of food, I can assure you. And it's much, much, much more detailed. They go down even to the water that's used for making the vaccine. So it's done very, very rigorously. So, you know, I mean, is it open for public inspection? I dare say it is. You know, a lot of these things are on the web. You know, you can look up on the web. Most of these vaccines, you know, Moderna vaccine, Pfizer vaccine, all that is actually in great, great detail if you have the zits flows to go through it. So
no,
it's not quite correct that it says hidden. It's not really hidden. And maybe what they're talking about is actually procurement of vaccines.
No, that's a whole different topic. Not at all. I suppose, Prof, it's what you referred to at the very beginning. Maybe, you and your colleagues as medical professionals are not PR people, and maybe, that was the failing, that the message wasn't communicated effectively enough.
You know what is new, Simon, is social media. And you know, if we look back, for example, smallpox is the only virus, the only infectious agent which in fact has been eradicated, only one, and that was before the advent of social media. Then we look at polio, which is near close to eradication. That straddled social media. When it started off, there was no social media, eradication, now there is. And you know, if there wasn't for social media, which does propagate denialists, conspiracies and so on, we could have eliminated long time ago measles and mumps and rubella and hepatitis, a lot of these, whooping cough. All these things could have been, if you have buy-in from the public, because it depends on the public's buy-in and trust in science.
Prof, I have to leave it there. It is 4:30. As always, thank you so very much for chatting to me this afternoon.
Thanks, Simon. All the best.